And you're very welcome to another edition of the Solid Foundations Property Podcast. Of course, you know me by now. I'm Pádraig Hilfirthy. And we have someone else with us as well, as per usual. Who have we got?
Lisa O'Reilly.
Drinking wine. Drinking wine like it's going out of fashion, I must admit.
There's no evidence of it. So if there's no evidence, it doesn't happen.
It's good to talk to you, Lisa. You've been on 4 holidays since we last spoke. It's great to see you back. You have a little bit of a tan, and also you have another project finished. So how are you anyway? Back to school, we're calling this Solid Foundations Property Podcast. Everyone's back to school. Everyone has got over the summer hurdle. If you've got kids, it's good crack, isn't it, Lisa?
It sure is, but hang on, I want to ask the big question. What summer? What summer did we actually get? Like, it was ridiculous.
Don't be getting all political now with the weather. You know how terrible it is here, you know.
God.
The weather has been absolutely shocking.
It's been shocking. It's been the worst summer in my memory anyway, and the coldest one. So, yes, we did a couple of holidays there, got into the sun, and, back at it and back raring to go, and delighted that the kids are back in school. Now, the routine's great, in fairness. It's great to have a routine.
You and me both, and I think everyone else who listens in to the Solid Foundations Property Podcast, thanks so much. We get messages on ongoing basis, and a couple of messages came in over the summer. Some people struggling to get money at the minute. Yeah, and one individual tell me that he was trying to get more of a tourism aspect in Galway. Really good project, but just trying to get the money. So I know there's a lot of noise about money, Lisa, out in the market. Maybe the project didn't stack 100%, but look, then I suppose another message from another listener trying to find deals in that south side area of Dublin, which obviously is a little bit of a nightmare at the minute for all property. And suppose that aspect of people asking questions, interacting, we really love those questions because we can help.
Yeah, we can. And if, well, we can try anyway. We can give advice where we can and put people in the right direction. So, I have one particular kind of person reach out to me and say they lost money in the crash. I think they were liquidated and their credit rating should be clear with the last 2 years. However, they're still finding it really hard to raise money, even though their credit history is now clean for the last 2 years. So I reached out to the mortgage broker who I use. She's really, really good. And I just said it to him. I said,
Give her a plug. Come on.
Give her a plug. Yeah. Laura Hayes, and she's in Easy Fees in Tremore in Waterford. And she's an ex-banker herself. She's super knowledgeable. So I just reached out and she said basically it all comes down to your credit rating is meant to be kind of clear once you've had spent your time or you've served your time, say. But just say, for example, if you were liquidating at the time you were borrowing from Bank of Ireland and then you're trying to go for a loan with Bank of Ireland 15 years later, they still have all your records, so they're still really reluctant to kind of lend if you do have that bad credit rating from even 15 years ago. She said it can be difficult. I suppose the advice I gave the guy was maybe if he had the money and it was the area suited, well, maybe flips would have been a good strategy for him. So property flipping, which would mean that he would use his money to put money into property, do the refurb and increase the value and then sell on. And then he would make his own capital basically for some of his longer term stuff. Raising capital can be a challenge in Ireland. However, I always say that anyone that can raise finance, you're nearly at an advantage in Ireland because it is so difficult. So if you are one of the ones that can raise it, then, you know, the competition wouldn't be as, say, big as what it would be in the UK, where they give asset-backed finance very easy, you know.
They do, definitely. And that's something that hasn't ventured over here as much. They're still, well, in the Republic of Ireland, in Northern Ireland, yeah, you still, you know, there is certain lenders who will look at more so the actual project. Yeah, you need a bit of experience, of course, and you do need to have a bit of a portfolio, maybe two buy-to-lets under your belt to get lending. So that's one of the stipulations. Was one of the lenders called Quantum, who does a lot of the commercial aspect as well, you know. But there is those issues in the market, and suppose as people are learning about those, there's always this requirement. The population is rising, and rising very, very fast. And we look at that, Lisa, and that's a real serious I hate using the word real serious issue, because it's kind of, but it is an issue. Like, you know, it's one of those issues that they're starting to panic about now, in that real, you know, in that regard about, we can't build enough houses, we can't, you know, the capacity. It's the same problem here in Northern Ireland as well. There's other aspects around it when it comes to services as well. So there's loads of different things that are obviously causing serious issue in both markets.
Yeah, it is. But I think, like any entrepreneur, like any investor or entrepreneur, you know, you go and you spot the opportunity. So, you know, with a rising population, where's the opportunity? The opportunity is a lack of housing. So therefore, sorry, where's the opportunity in that? You know, it's like the, you know, the co-living, maybe HMO model, that type of thing. It could be a, you know, potential solution. So look, with it, like, everything goes in cycles, everything goes on and on. And I suppose the way I would see it is, sorry, that's just my husband there in the background telling me he's going to the pub in his van. So he's bloody cheek. He's leaving me minding the kids. So I suppose, look, with every, I know, yeah, fair play. He's just had to play in a match. So he's down with the lads, I'd say. So like every problem, there's a solution. And I suppose the thing with us is, with us entrepreneurs and property investors, is where's the opportunity? It's like I say, like, raising finance in Ireland is really difficult, but then that gets rid of the competition. So where's the opportunity?
I'm gonna stop you there now, because I put up a stat on LinkedIn or one of the sites the last day. I'm trying to find it here now, but just to give you the stats, the amount of money that's lying in the bank accounts earning absolutely nothing at the minute is it's eye-watering. I think it's $3 billion. I think it's $3 billion in the UK. I think it's up in, hang on a second, I've got it here. Yeah, so you're looking at 138 billion in the Irish banks, 336 billion in the UK banks, you know. So there's so much money washing about, so much money. Actually, when you break it down, Lisa, and you think about it, okay, and the money's sitting there anyway, it's not earning any interest. There's a huge crisis in both markets, and even in the UK. And suppose there's risk. Granted, there's risk, but there's more risk of it sitting in the bank and earns nothing, you know, in that regard. Because that obviously is opportunity there for investors to get a return on their money. Look at it this way. You could stick it into the, you know, the FTSE 100 or whatever you call it. I don't know anything about index funds or anything, but I'm just showing that there's part of the problem. You look at it, and they're trying to encourage people to do something with their cash to get it a better return. Maybe talk about that.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose my attitude with money sitting in the bank is it's earning 0%, but yet they're lending at, you know, between 4 to 10%, say. So, you know, if it's good enough for the banks, it's good enough for, you know, people. And I suppose we're getting so much information now, like we're opening ourselves up for many years. Like, we just come off the back of a crash. Everyone was really tight with their money, you know, quite rightly. People were losing money left, right and center. We're only starting to recover there now. But then the as you mentioned, the population growth has just gone through the roof. The, you know, the economy is kind of booming and the housing hasn't kept up. So people have got way more information now. They, you know, there's no need to be so conservative and have it so just like tied in the bank, because we now know that, you know, having it tied in the bank, you're getting very little interest, 0, 1, 1% max. And the banks are lending at like kind of, you know, four to 10%. So that's their margin. And like the types of kind of the deals that us, like you and me, Pork, we do, the property investors we do, we give serious returns on money, on people's money. And we give the same level of security that the banks would look for. So we give, you know, proper mortgage documents, you know, first charges on properties. So, you know, I suppose the question is, you know, it's up to you. You can leave it in the bank. However, you know, why would you if you don't, if there's other options out there? I personally, I do have money in those funds that you're talking about because I want to be diversified. But I leave them in there for the long term, but I do often go into the app and I see, and the fluctuations that are in those accounts, you know, and those ETFs and those kind of stocks, it's all based on kind of like public opinion, and some report comes out in the US and all of a sudden your stocks could, you know, plummet overnight because like the US had some sort of labor report announced there a month ago and all the stocks just fell. Like, I cannot control that. However, with property, I just feel like it's bricks and mortar. You can control it, but I suppose it's not, you know, you don't just give your money to anybody. Like, you really want to make sure that the person, you know, is seasoned, they know what they're doing. And yeah, look, there's money out there, there's deals out there, there's people with more money than time, so therefore they're happy to lend. There's people there with more time than money, and so they're happy to do the legwork and the sweat equity. And there's people out there with maybe their own deals. Maybe they were inherited property or they found a really good deal. So why not everybody just kind of, you know, get together and work out a deal that's a win-win for everybody? For me, I'm all about the win-win. I don't think that if somebody is going to lose in my deal, then it's not going to work for us in the long term. My reputation is everything, and as for you, Porik. So if you're trying to go out there on a, you know, win-lose strategy, you're only going to get so far. You're going to get so far, and especially in Ireland. Ireland is so small. So if I mess someone around on a deal, I might get away with it for this deal, but I'm soon going to be ousted, especially in Ireland, because we're so small, you know. So I'm all about like win-win, and I'm very happy for everybody to you know, make money in a deal. And you're the same, Porik.
Yeah, well, it comes back to ethics and values, you know, your values and what you're about as a person, first of all. And there's been a lot of that thrown out the window when it comes to let's call it property and property investment. And, you know, a lot of those aspects, you're dealing with, a sensitive aspect. It's a societal thing. But it comes back to you as a person, and you have to, you know, do the right thing when you can. And, you know, you should always do the right thing regardless, you know, and there is people involved, and that is on you. You know, you do your best and you try and get those ethics and those values into what you're doing. And look, genuinely, you hit the nail on the head. Collaboration is probably the best aspect, you know, and it's for anyone that's listening out there, you're thinking about it, or you're having a chat about it, or you're thinking, you know, down the line, there does be a lot of rhetoric in the media about, you know, landlord bashing and everything else. And, you know, that there can get a wee bit tiresome in a way, because there is aspects where you pay a lot of tax when it comes to owning a property. You know, the state has a say in everything you do. So, you know, it's just not all one-sided here. Everyone has to work together, in my belief anyway. And you'd hope that that would, you know, a bit of common sense, because the market is losing a lot of landlords, Lisa.
The market is losing a lot of landlords, and it still is. So just kind of my own, I'm in the market again looking for another property, and I'm finding that there's a lot of property ex-landlords houses coming on the market. I was speaking to a couple of estate agents there, and they were saying that the turnkey properties, they're again flying out the door still. They're absolutely, there's no issue with turnkey properties, but any properties that need work to be done to them, given the way the labor rates have gone at the moment, you know, and they're, you know, it's very hard to get builders, and we're still trying to rebuild our labor market in terms of construction workers. People are not inclined to take on property that needs work done to them. So there's really good deals to be had in that area. And I suppose, you know, from my perspective, I'm bidding at the moment on a house with, and I'm up against a builder, I believe he is. I don't know for sure, but I believe he's a builder. And like, he's got the money, and he's probably going to outbid me on this one, because he's obviously can do the refurb work a lot cheaper than what I can. But I just think there's deals to be had. And I think that the opportunity possibly in today's market is, if you're a builder, be it a small builder, you know, some bit in the construction industry, I think there's definitely opportunity out there for you. I think it's just a case of using maybe company funds or raising, you know, trying to find raising money. And I would say that if maybe you were burnt in the boot, in the crash, say, and possibly your credit rating isn't great, the first place I would look for is through your phone book. Is like, as a builder or as someone in the construction trade, you have the, you know, you have the people, you have the knowledge, you have the skill set. Possibly you're missing some money in order to do a deal. Look through your phone book. You'd be surprised about the amount of people who have money just sitting in their savings account. And you know, the question you have to ask, look, I'm looking for some money, I don't want it for free, I want you to make money, I want me to make money. And if you have, you know, 50 grand sitting in your bank, I can offer you x amount of a percentage. What are you getting from your own bank? How does that sound? Don't ever act desperate. If you're desperate for money, people will run a mile. And just say, look, it's up to you. You know, let me know if it's something you're interested in. And I think you'll find that there will be a lot of people who they want to. Why wouldn't they want to do it? If they believe in you, they know, like, and trust you. They can see that you've done really well. You'd be surprised, is what I'm saying. So I would say just trust your instincts and look through that phone book, and I bet you, there'll be someone in that phone book, at least one person in that phone book with money. But I suppose it's all about the mindset. It's all about getting over, you know, and we discussed this, Porik, about the whole mindset about, you know, money. And I just said to you, like, before we got on the podcast, I'm rubbish at closing. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not a negotiator. I would rather just say, okay, just give me the money, or say, for example, if I'm negotiating a property, I'll pay this, and try and run away from all the closing. I just hate negotiating. I hate kind of the whole deal thing at the end. But it's just a mindset thing. And if I just got to get myself over that, and I can probably get better deals. But, you know, as a sales, you're a salesman as well, Porik, and you know, it's all about the mindset, mm-hmm. right?
Pick up the phone and start dialing. That is the, every no you get, you're getting closer to your yes. And suppose the ramblings is all about property, the Irish market, the Northern Irish market, and how we can really and just giving you some ideas tonight on how to do that if you're stuck in a way and you're thinking about it, you're trying to get involved in it. But looking, suppose stats and different things, Lisa, is something we don't really talk that much. Me, you're not very stat oriented. It's just get it done and get it started and see how it turns out. Obviously, you need a little bit of a plan, but the stats, you know, on the population increasing is evident for everyone to see. Ireland is as full, if you want to call it that way. And suppose there's people coming into the country every day, and similar in Northern Ireland and in the UK as well. But as we look in the UK, Northern Ireland market, obviously there seems to be some noises coming that there's going to be some tax increases. Possibly in the Republic of Ireland, there's something muted the same. We'll look at Northern Ireland, the UK first. Lisa, you have a bit of exposure to that market as well. You understand it to a certain degree, like myself. Is that going to affect property investors in the UK? Where do you feel with this new budget that's coming, that's been muted, as you need to have broad shoulders? I think that's the rhetoric that's coming out.
Yeah, I think, look, they're all.
I should rephrase that. They're going to target the people with the broader shoulders. Sorry, I should say instead of what I did say. But that's the kind of the rhetoric that's coming out. Is it something similar in the Republic?
Yeah, so I think there's just been an article there at the moment with the Minister of Finance saying that the budget is going to have no more incentives for landlords. That apparently they gave the big incentive last year, which was, I tell you what it was there now, Porik. So the big incentive that they gave, the big incentive that they gave last year was 20% of €600 is what they gave for us this year. So any landlord that is operating in Ireland, basically they gave a €600 relief, tax relief, but at 20%. So effectively, any landlord, the maximum tax relief that they can claim for this year is €120. So supposedly, that is the government did, you know, was so generous, and they gave €120 for landlords this year. So basically he's saying that he's given no more reliefs or no more landlord reliefs for next year. Now, I think that there's obviously there's a big elephant in the room there, where the elections are coming up next year. So, you know, they're obviously looking for their votes, but it's a massive, you know, faux pas. It's a massive miss from the government. We have landlords leaving in droves. If anything, I would go out as far as to say you need to not only give landlords more incentives, but give them a lot of incentives. The way the building prices are gone right now, it is kind of pricing people out of the market. It's actually more landlords that we need in Ireland to keep the rents not going crazy. The more supply that there is, the cheaper rents become, you know, just as a general economic sense. And the more landlords that leave the market, the few that are left behind, you know, that just generally leads to an increase in market rents. So I think that it's a big kind of, you know, it's a silly step from not giving the, you know, more incentives to landlords. They're just being very like, you know, what's the popular opinion? And it's all because of the election next year, I believe. But yeah, it's a silly step from in the Republic of Ireland. How about the UK? What do you think about
the UK? Labour is bandying about a lot of figures. I suppose 1.5 million homes are going to build. Yeah, where are they going to do that? And look, it's great to come out with all this manifesto, carry on, and this is the plan, and this is what we're going to do, and how they're going to do it. And the reality is, and it comes back to reality, they just don't have the workers, you know. And that's, they've tried the modular thing in the UK. It hasn't really. Starting to, you know, there's some of it here in Ireland and the Republic and Northern Ireland. There's the little bits and pieces of it as well. But a lot of those modular factories have fallen flat. Legal & General had it. They were going to build maybe 20,000 a year. Hasn't worked. Top Hat, who's been backed by Persimmon Homes, another one that There seems to be no real volume coming out of either. So when you look at those aspects where they are promising large numbers, and then the tenant protection and rent regulation, they're looking at bringing that in, looking at let's say it, rent pressure zones as well. So I see you grit your teeth. Look, there's a lot of noise there currently, and you know, there's a lot of statements coming out, and how that's going to affect. Look, it's going to affect the Northern Irish market. Who knows? The Northern Irish market is relatively strong at the minute. You know, it's performing really well. Property Pal has released some data over the last quarters or so, and it's strong once again. You know, property prices are increasing 3-4%. You know, the last time it looked like rents increased, you know, you're given 5-10% in different areas, you know, and that just comes from supply and demand, Lisa, nothing else. And trying to build more sustainable housing is a challenge. The big challenge I do see coming out of Northern Ireland, and I've heard this from a few developers, is actually water, and you know, those utilities seem to be causing an issue. And look, it's an issue that we're starting to hear about now. So no doubt it's gonna maybe have an impact as they move on, and we do see it in around Derry City as well. Also, so look, all those things. It's great coming out with a big massive figure. You're going to do this, but there's a lot more that goes on than just saying you're going to build X amount with I don't know 1.5 million. That's quite a big target, you know.
I just think that for me personally, right, I listen to all these stats and I take out of it, I'm very selfish. I'm like, oh, how is that going to affect me? How is this going to affect me? And I just see from these type of things, like, I'm never going to be a person to, you know, I'm not going to be in government. I'm not going to be a policymaker. I am not going to be owning a big, massive kind of building company that's going to be building all these modular yokes. So I'm thinking, right, what's the general gist of this? And I think that the general gist is we have a housing crisis. We need X amount of houses per year. They're not going to build them because of various different reasons, including, as you said, like the utilities. We're just not there yet in terms of you know, everything's going to have to kind of come up to standard before all this can be built. We have this massive population growth. It's going nowhere. It's not going to go back to the times where there's going to be mass kind of emigration because of, say, corporation tax rates. People are coming into Ireland. You know, we're a developed country now. You know, we're not going to have a mass people going out of the country. It's only going to start kind of coming in and rising. So where's the opportunity? Where's the opportunity for me and you, the ordinary Joe Soaps, who are just kind of trying to do our thing, you know? And yeah, I do think that housing, everybody needs a house. Everybody needs shelter over their head. And I think that, like, for property investors, I think if we can find a solution for the situation that we're in, and I think we're the best place to do that, these entrepreneurial type people. I think the policymakers, the governments, you know, they're all, at the end of the day, they are all kind of, public servants. And especially some of the policymakers, they've all got elections in the back of their heads. They've all got their own selfish reasons as to the types of policies they're trying to bring out. Then you've got the economists. They're all very academic, you know, but at the end of the day, it's the entrepreneurs are the ones who take the action. They're the ones who see the opportunity, see the opportunity in the market. How can we help people? How can we solve people's problems? And I think if you can kind of get that into your head, I think that's where the opportunity is. But it's, as I said, it's all about win-win. If I go into a situation and I think to myself, do you know what, I'm going to screw all the tenants and I'm going to be the big winner here, I'm only going to get away with that for so long, you know. So what I'm doing is yeah, I want to charge a margin for my properties. So where my opportunity is I go for more higher end stuff. So I'm trying to kind of look at, let's see where the market is. Let's see, I've got some lower end properties and that's the money I'm achieving. Let me go and add some more value to the property and make it really high end and see how I get on with that, and to see where the opportunities are. So I think that there's all these statistics are all very, very good. However, let's call a spade a spade. We're all looking at them as if just in our own little minds. How does this affect me? We're all being very selfish here. But I think that the entrepreneurs, it's the most exciting time to be around at the moment because there's so much change. And I think that this is just a great time to be kind of seeing what you can do, seeing how you can operate.
Absolutely. And as we wrap up our ramblings, back to school, Solid Foundations Property Podcast. It's been a lot there over the last 30 minutes or so, raising finance, chatting about the population, having a chat about we're going to solve everything. I suppose coming back to Lisa, education, getting out there, having a chat with people, you finally have got off your, can I say it, your backside, and you've got a brilliant event coming up in September. Maybe tell us about that before you go.
Yeah, so it's not my event. It's the Fiabsi Island. So Fiabsi, Fiabci, Island. Okay. It's a network, property networking, international, yeah, property networking group.
Excuse me.
And yeah, very, I've gone international now, Paul Rick, what can I say?
Yeah, you know?
And it is on, I'm just checking the calendar there, Tuesday the 17th of September. So depending on when this goes out, it's probably going to be next week. Next Tuesday night, Sandyford Hotel, check out my social media anyway. It's a free event. And basically, what are we looking for? We're looking for people who have money and want to invest in property, or who have property, who want to look for maybe private investors, any support services to the property industry. So estate agents, solicitors, auctioneers. We are anybody that's interested in property, investors. And look, anybody that's just kind of got, just wants to come along. It's a free event.
Come and meet Lisa.
And meet me.
Sign the autograph.
So I'm doing a few signatures on the night. That's true.
From what I hear, the tickets are selling just at the same rate that Oasis has sold in Ireland. So it's good to see. Good to see. They see you're going to have a crowd. That's great.
Yeah. So no, they're selling. Well, they're not selling because they're free. But we've got lots of registrations there now. And so look, just pop along. It'd be a great night. And it's just networking with people. Basically, it's just kind of doing deals and speaking with people. And even if you walk away with and you don't get anything out of it, you get a few connections. And and you know, Porik is all about connections when you need to call on people, you know.
Yeah, and that's it too. Like, you know, it's like everything in life, you need that support group. Gavin J. Galler is there as well. Gavin, fantastic fella. Gavin doing amazing stuff. I don't know how he gets the time. He does the podcast and he's got the elite property accelerator as well. So Gavin's going to do the talk, and no better man.
Yeah, actually, sorry, he's going to kill me. Yeah, Gavin is going to be the main keynote speaker for the night. So he's going to go through the obstacles to property development in Ireland at the moment. Mm. So that's going to be his topic. Gavin has been through it, always been through the good times, the bad times, and back into being the good times again. And I think he'd actually be a really good person to bring onto this podcast. And if there's anybody out there who would like us to kind of touch on certain topics or bring in certain guests, please reach out to either Porik or myself, because me and him will ramble along for forever and
drop
we might not have too much of a structure.
Yeah, no, indeed, the structure sometimes goes out the window, but that's reality, I suppose. And as I say, no, Gavin, great speaker. We will have him on the Solid Foundations Property Podcast as well very shortly indeed. But don't forget, I've got a little event coming up, the Northwest Property Meet. We are back, baby. Yeah, we are back on the 24th of September.
Do you have speakers, Porrick, or do you run it?
We do indeed, yeah. This month, a special guest speaker, Stephen Gill from Marketing Advice NA. And Stephen is renowned for his marketing capabilities over the last number of years, but also the future of property marketing, leveraging AI and social media for success in property. Now, I must say today I was looking at something, what was it called? Deal Sourcer, using AI for deal sourcing. It's in the UK, really, really good piece of software. So again, it's coming back to that aspect where everyone's so afraid of AI, but it's how to use it effectively for your property business. So I can't wait to actually hear Stephen's presentation. Spoke to him earlier on about it. And look, social media has taken over the world, but from a property point of view, no more than raising your profile or, you know, getting out there. It's been fantastic in a way, but it's how to utilize that more effectively, I think, Lisa. That's what we're really going to dig into. We also have got Deal Diaries with our own Richard Brown. So Richard, who co-hosts the event with me, we're actually going to take apart a deal and take a look at it, the numbers, get underneath the bonnet, see what it looks like, give back some education to our members as well. And we also have the market update from Smart Mortgages. Aaron and his team, really, really good, knowledgeable about the mortgage market, you know. And it's really interesting at the minute because, you know, there's interest rates going down, they're coming over, they're actually starting a battle in the UK and in Northern Ireland now with rates. So, you know, it's been stagnantic for the last while, but it's starting to move, and I suppose we will review that as well, and also we'll do the networking. So important. And I don't like doing it, but I get everyone to stand up and go, why are you here? What do you want? You know, it's so important. Don't go networking if you're going to sit in the corner. Don't do it.
Yeah.
We all do it, you know, and everybody has got that internal aspect. We go, no, I can't talk to Lisa, or I couldn't approach Porrick, or I couldn't speak to Gavin. They love to help, don't they?
Mm. I love to help, yeah. No, but they do. Everybody, like, it's all very much like collaborative, and, you know, some of them are way more experienced than I am, and I love to be the student in the room and listening to everybody else. And now, don't get me wrong, I ask loads of questions too, but I just love being a student in the room and just listen to people's stories and what they're at and what they're about. And most people in property actually all have their own background. They don't actually ever, you very rarely hear people who, oh yeah, I'm a full-time property investor, or I'm a full-time property developer, or, you know, full-time landlord. They're not. They've all got their own, like, kind of backgrounds. They're solicitors, they're accountants, they're, you know, they've all got their own backgrounds, basically. And it's really interesting to hear how the industries that they're working in maybe somehow complement what they're doing at the moment. So just go in when you're networking. If I give you any bit of advice at all, now this is coming from somebody. I am an accountant. I used to work in a corporate job for many, many years. And the idea of networking and talking to people and putting myself out there, I'd much rather be in front of a laptop, because I saw being in front of a laptop was where I got the action, where I got all my work done, and talking to people was only just a waste of time. So I really changed my mindset there. And if I can give anybody a bit of advice, is to don't worry about what other people think of you, is one thing. I really, really truly believe that people have an opinion on you. However, that opinion will only last for a few minutes, and then they'll be going off thinking about someone else or talking about someone else. So go to a networking event and really try and get the most out of it. Speak to as many people as you can, but don't be annoying. That's the one thing I would say. Now, sometimes I have to say to myself, Lisa, stop being annoying now. You're talking too much, or you're asking too many questions. You don't want to put too many people off. You don't want to be like Marmite, where people either love you or hate you. Just kind of go in, listen to other people's stories, and talk, but listen more than you talk. And I tell you, the amount of information that you can get from people, and you can just learn from people, it's amazing. And I think that if you listen more, people will be more inclined to talk more, and they will give more of their time. So I think if you're going to one of these networking events, don't be shy. Don't worry about what people think of you, but equally, don't be annoying. That's my advice.
Have a bit of
Sorry about
crack
that,
too.
Porrick.
You're all right. You're all
I
right.
might be a crack.
You went in a ramble there, so we just let you go, you know. So
Okay.
that's all from us. It's we've covered everything tonight, from raising finance to finding an odd deal to actually getting out there and networking as well. So thanks very much for listening to us. That's all from us on this edition of Solid Foundations. We'll be back next month, and we've got a couple of questions about our brokerage that we've spoken about, Lisa. I will be back to you now since you're back from your summer break, and we will have more information on the brokerage, how it can help you. It's going to be amazing. Talk to you very soon.
Thank you.